Let me turn to the issue of abortion. As you know, Arlen Specter, the Republican senator from Pennsylvania, is online to be the next chairman of the Judiciary Committee. He said some things on election night, and this is how they were reported. When you talk about judges who would change the right of a woman to choose, overturn Roe v. Wade, I think that is unlikely, Arlen Specter said. The president is well aware of what happened when a bunch of his nominees were sent up with the filibuster, referring to Senate Democrats' success over the past 4 years in blocking the confirmation of many of Bush's conservative judicial picks. And I would expect the president to be mindful of the considerations which I am mentioning. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I saw his letter statement where he said he was not applying the litmus test and that he upheld his commitment to the president that if he were to become chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, there would be quick hearings, a vote within a reasonable period of time, and that the appellate nominees would be brought to the floor for an up or down vote by the entire Senate. And Senator Specter is a man of his word. We'll take him at his word.
Is the president comfortable with Arlen Specter being chairman of the Judiciary Committee?
That's up to the United States Senate to decide, not the president of the United States. Just as we wouldn't like them to decide who are the staff assistants of the White House, they certainly do not want us to determine who's committee chairman on the Hill.
Is the president obligated to his support from the evangelical Christians to nominate people for the Supreme Court who would overturn Roe v. Wade?
The president said during the campaign that in virtually every speech that he gave, that he would continue to nominate men and women to the bench who are well qualified and who would strictly interpret the law, who knew the difference between personal agendas and personal views on the one hand and the strict interpretation of the law. He'll continue to uphold that commitment. He has sent forward some terrific nominees, men and women of tremendous intellectual and legal abilities. And they are people who share his philosophy that judges are to be impartial umpires, not activists, not legislators who just happen to be wearing robes, but to be impartial umpires who strictly interpret the Constitution and apply it.
Does he think that Roe v. Wade was properly decided?
He is going to pick people for the bench who will strictly interpret the law. He's not going to have a litmus test. He's not going to ask judges, potential judges, in advance how they would determine cases that might come before that, before them. He thinks that violates the fundamental principle of what judicial nominations ought to be about. He believes that he ought to pick people who will impartially interpret and apply the law, not people who have a political agenda or a personal agenda that they want to pursue on the court.
Does he think a right of privacy exists under the Constitution?
Griswold versus Connecticut? I'm not sure. I've never discussed Griswold versus Connecticut with the president.
Let me turn to the tax system. The president wants to reform the Internal Revenue Service. There have been reports that he would like to replace the progressive income tax with a national sales tax or a flat tax. Is that accurate?
Well, some of those reports were more specific than anybody could have been at this point. But look, the president believes that we have a system of taxation that is complicated, that he calls it a mess. It requires an enormous amount of time and energy and effort by individuals and by corporations and by small businesses to comply with it. And if you are wealthy and can hire enough accountants and attorneys, you can find ways around the code. It's fundamentally not fair. It wastes a lot of time and energy and effort to comply with it. It doesn't encourage savings and investment. And we need to simplify it and make it more fair. He understands how big a task this is. He understands that a lot of work needs to be done first at Treasury and then with Congress. He knows that we need to draw Democrats and Republicans together on this. But if we're going to have a strong and dynamic economy in the years ahead, We need to tackle some of the structural challenges that our economy faces, and the tax code is one of the biggest. Our litigation environment is another big one. Our health care issues are another big structural drag. All of these need to be dealt with if we're going to keep the American economy the most dynamic and flexible in the world. We got a lot of competition around the world, and the competition for American companies is no longer in the next county or the next state. It's on the other side of the globe. And to be able to compete, we've got to improve our education system, our litigation environment, our tax code, our health system, and our trading policies if we're going to be as strong economically in the years ahead.
But a flat tax, a national sales tax, would be on the table?
Well, the president wants to look at all options, but there were some reporting early on that he'd settled on one particular method, that's not accurate.
In terms of Social Security reforms, there had been a commission headed by Daniel Patrick Moynihan that talked about allowing Americans to take part of their monies that they pay in payroll tax and put it into private accounts. That's when we had a $2 trillion surplus. In light of a $422 billion deficit, can we, in fact, reform Social Security with private accounts when the transition costs are estimated to be $2 trillion?
Well, first of all, there's one cost that hasn't changed, and that is the cost of doing nothing. The system's going to be fine. Social Security is fine for those at or near retirement today. For those receiving their checks today, don't worry, it's going to be there for you. For those that are nearing their retirement years, don't worry, it's going to be there for you. But for our kids, for your boy, for my boy, and for their children, for our kids and grandkids, it's a real big question as to whether or not the system's going to be there. The number that has not changed is the number of the unfunded liabilities that we're going to see about mid-century if we don't do anything. And that's about $13 trillion and growing. What we need to do is to deal with this problem before it becomes too large that it swamps our children and our grandchildren. And the president's committed to doing something. The commission pointed out several avenues. There are other bills up on the Hill that show other means to get there. But we need to do something and start doing it now before the costs swamp our children and our grandchildren in the years ahead.
The president has said one of his biggest regrets is that he was not a uniter, but a divider. He really wanted to change the tone in Washington.
I think it was the latter, that the tone didn't change, not the first. But
He had not succeeded in being united rather than a divider. At the Thursday's press conference, the president said something, and I want to get your reaction to it. Here it is.
I will reach out to others and explain why I make the decisions I make.
I will reach out to others and explain the decision I make. Mm-hmm. Is that consultation, informing people of why you made a decision, as opposed to talking to people before you make a decision?
Well, it's part of the process. Look, I'll tell you, it's been an interesting experience for those of us who came up from Texas. I remember well, after 9/11, sitting with the president and a leader of the Democratic Party talking about the economic stimulus package. The president said, look, our economy's been hit hard on 9/11. We need to do something to jumpstart our economy. You know, my advisors at the Council of Economic Advisors tell me the number one thing we can do to jumpstart the economy is A. And this Democrat leader said, well, Mr. President, I can't get the votes for A, but I can get the votes for B. And the president said, listen to him, and several days later laid out his package and included as one of the principal elements of it, B. And that Democrat leader immediately went out and criticized it. I was angry at the time. I remember the president saying, look, that's the way the town works. Let it go. And he'll continue to reach out, explain the basis of his decision, listen carefully to people, and try and find common ground. And realize that the legacy of the 1990s, a legacy created by Republicans and Democrats alike in this town, is that there's a fascination with winning the next news cycle, with being able to be invited on to meet the press by saying the ugliest thing possible the previous week about your political opponents, and not on making progress for the country. And the only way the president understands the only way to deal with that is just to ignore it and work through it.